Good afternoon, and welcome to the Hitman Hockey Hour, heard every Saturday here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm your host, Brad Curl. 60 minutes of talk on the Calgary Hitmen and the Western Hockey League, and we've got a loaded show for you today. We'll hear from the head coach of the Hitmen, Steve Hamilton. He's a weekly guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Sits down with Peter Klein every Thursday morning. We'll rewind that one for you. We'll talk about Calgary's stingy defense. It's propelled them to a 4-0-1 start. We'll also hear about bubble soccer and combat archery. Yes, some team building this week for Calgary. We'll hear from the captain, Mark Kastelic. The leadership group announced this week, and the Ottawa Senators prospect once again wearing the captain C. We'll introduce you to Hitman prospect Evan Toth. We'll hear from Rob Kerr about the Hitman Pledge powered by NMAX. And we'll also guest with Dakota Krebs about to play career game 250 in the Western Hockey League tonight up in Edmonton against the Oil Kings. But as promised, we begin with the head coach, Steve Hamilton, in conversation with Peter Klein.
Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Glad to hear it. You guys, I don't know how much you read into to CHL top 10 rankings 4 weeks into the rankings, but seeing your team at number 5 in Canada has to feel at least pretty good, hey?
Well, I guess it's it's pretty early, and I honestly have no idea what the criteria even is for that. So, whatever. I'm not really a believer in that kind of stuff, and I really hope our guys aren't either.
Yeah, you don't want the players getting too far ahead of themselves just yet. But on a pretty good run so far, 5-2 win. 2-0 win, 5-1 win. It seems like things are really clicking for you guys so far early in the season. This sounds like a lot of blowing smoke, but what has been going right so far for your team so far this year?
Well, we're keeping the puck out of our net, which has been a huge piece for us, is that we're pretty stingy defensively. And, I give a lot of credit to our back end, we have a veteran group back there. They take a lot of pride in their game. And, our play away from the puck has been a point of emphasis, really, going back to the start of last year. We wanted to continuously improve those areas. And, we're pretty stingy and not giving up a lot of grade A opportunities. And those are the kinds of things that you build your foundation around, because you're not, if you want to become an elite team, if you want to work towards that goal, it's not about being able to score 5, 6, 7 a night, because it just gets tighter and tighter as the year goes on. So it comes down to being able to defend.
The most recent game, that 5-2 win over Portland on Sunday, you guys open the scoring 4 minutes in, and then 30 seconds later, they score to counter that. What's the message on the bench when things get when there's an answer like that so quickly? Is it tough to not get down after something like that?
No, we're good. I mean, that's the message. We're good, boys. Let's go. We're good. And, unfazed, basically, is the way we handle situations like that. We just got to be unfazed. Back to work, back to the plan, stay the course. Those are just – that's how we kind of run our bench. That's how the guys talk to each other. Like, we're good. We just have a response mechanism that I thought our first period was maybe the best period of hockey we've played this year. I mean, we were fast and crisp, moved the puck really well. And, we were able to build a pretty good lead. The back half of that game weren't necessarily, as sharp, but I liked a lot of the things we did. And again, it comes back to your players and just having a belief in the way you do things. And there's always going to be moments in the game, where momentum changes a little bit. It's how you handle that, how you respond. And we responded with, 3 more goals after that. So it was good to see the guys, recognize that there was a need for a little pushback.
You mentioned that first period, one of your best of the year, and the numbers would bear that out with 3 goals in that period. But what does, from your perspective, what does that look like when this team is clicking on all cylinders? Well, what style of play is working for them?
I think we grind a lot of pucks down low in the offensive zone. It's nice to be able to score off the rush, but the reality is the way the game is now, the way teams back pressure. I mean, time and space is always at a premium. I just think there's still a spot for some heavy down low presence and some heavy grinding hockey that forces the other teams to have to defend hard minutes, and it opens up opportunities. And, I like the pace of our play, and you know, there's a certain heaviness and grit to us as well that I think it's super important. And you never want to overlook that. No team is built with all the same pieces, and that's for a reason. You have a certain identity, and guys bring different things to the different element. I mean, James Malm and Mark Kastelic were our leading scorers last year. And I mean, most people who've watched us play would say that those are two different ways to get to the same result. You know, one is plays super heavy and the other one is more dynamic and skilled. And I mean, all of those things are super vital for us. And the best version of us is a really aggressive game without the puck too, where we track and make sure we're constantly getting in guys' gear. And that's, a phrase we talk about is making sure that we're physical, getting the jersey dirty every night.
With that style, obviously, at times, penalties are going to come with that. And that's something that happened against Portland last Sunday with the 5 power play opportunities for Portland. You kill all of them off. But is that, you never just accept that penalties are going to happen, but at some point, they just kind of happen. With that kind of a style, is it just, okay, nights like 5 penalties are going to happen, or do you try to get the guys to walk that line a little bit better?
Yeah, we constantly talk about 3 or less being sort of our game target, 3 or less. You're never going to go through a game without penalties, but you also don't want to be setting the table for the other team because you tax your penalty killers a lot when you're going down that road of 4, 5, 6 a game. They get taxed heavily. You ruin the flow and the rotation of your group. Guys can sit for extended periods of time if they don't kill penalties. And so it's not ideal. It's nice to be able to kill them off. But certainly we want to keep our target to 3 or less and, play as hard as you can between the whistles. None of the extra stuff are areas that we want to get involved in. And for the most part, we've done a better job of limiting. I thought there was a huge momentum swing in the game on Sunday when Portland had, consistent or 3 power plays in a row in the third period. That's awfully tough on your group.
And as mentioned, killed them all off. I do want to ask about one player specifically. Big offseason move to bring in Jet Wu, former, or I guess current second-round pick of the Vancouver Canucks. Now that we're a few games in, how has he meshed in with your group?
No, he's been a perfect fit. And, you can tell by the way he's looks on the ice, the way he operates in our room. I mean, he's just been a great fit. Great fit. He had the connection with a few of our guys from their younger days of spring hockey or whatever, and some of the guys that he's grown up with. So it was a natural fit that way. But just the respect he has in our room is, you can notice it without a doubt that he's a premier guy in our league. And to be able to pair him with Igor and the two of those guys, there's nights where they can play 30 minutes if they have to. And there's nights they can play 18, depending on the situation. I mean, we believe in our group back there, but Jet does have the ability to be a horse if you need him to, and it's a nice luxury to have two real high-end puck-moving defensemen in Jet and Yegor, and really like what our other guys back there bring, as well. We're heavy on the back end, and there's no question that that's hard to play against, and I think Jets kind of really embraced our identity.
We've talked about the schedule a couple times in having these conversations each week. You guys have a couple weeks ago, the 3 games in 3 nights, and then it's a week between games, and now it's 6 days between games, and then you have 2 in 3 days, and then it's 4 between games. Obviously, this is the nature of the beast when it comes to junior hockey, but when you have 6 days off in between games, do you plan ahead to the Saskatoon game as well? I know you have Edmonton coming up on Saturday, but I guess how far ahead do you start to work and start to prepare when you have 6 days off in between games?
Yeah, well, we took the guys to battle archery and bubble soccer yesterday for a day off. Like, because quite honestly, we've practiced so much. You got to do things to build your team. And it was awesome. It was a super fun day and some major league collisions going on in those bubbles. But it was great for our guys to break up the monotony of the long weeks of practice. And So now we'll, you know, have a couple of days, Thursday, Friday here to get back on the ice, get crisp. And, you know, we don't make necessarily a ton of adjustments per opponent. We have a skate on Sunday. You know, and there's a few specific things. You know, Jason and Trent do a great job of kind of prepping some video packages for the guys just to play on a loop so that they see the other team. But really the focus of our planning doesn't really change a whole ton. It's always about us first and probably, you know, 10 or 20% on the other team if needed. But we're, you know, we're going to get hit with some tough runs in the second half of the year in terms of, you know, limited practice time and a lot of games. And that you got to be thankful for the time that we've had early in the year to sort of lay down your foundation and continue to work on things, because when you do get into those stretches, you may or may not even practice, you know, two or three times in a 2 or 3 week span. And that's, you know, that's difficult in its own right, but we're thankful for the time we've had early on. It'd be nice to play a few more games, but that's the way it goes. So can't control those things. You know, looking forward to having a couple good days here before we head off to Edmonton on Saturday.
Well, enough about these games. I need to know about the bubble soccer and the combat archery here. Who are the standouts? Anyone surprise you out on the? Is it a bubble soccer pitch? I don't know how to refer to that. But any yeah. standouts from that?
Well, the bubble soccer is just a clever name, because I don't even know that we put a soccer ball in play. Like, I honestly just think it was just massive collisions. And then it became King of the Ring and who could knock over who. And the archery was a little more tactical and a little bit more more organized. I would say that there was a touch bit more chaos with the bubble soccer. But it was good. It was a fun experience. It was indoors, so space was at a premium. And we had our whole squad and the coaching staff all involved. So it was lots of fun. And again, just a way to kind of break things up.
Anyone take any free runs at the coach?
Well, I was in there full on, but they were doing their best. It was a lot of fun. We had a few massive head-on collisions. We got some heavyweight kids, so it wasn't like I was going to cut through them like butter. They put me to the test. I got blown up a few times. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I have to know now, any player who like turned the puck over a couple times against Portland who you might have targeted in the bubble soccer, just give him let out a bit of frustration, like, hey, could you just hold on to it a little bit more?
Well, when you're in the bubble, though, it's like a foggy, you can't really see a whole lot, so you don't really target anyone specifically. It's just whether or not they're vulnerable or not. So it was there wasn't a lot of tactics going on, let me put it that way. It was super fun, and you could see guys like Gritty, Devin Clawson. I mean, that was his Super Bowl yesterday. He must have been in that bubble 90% of the time. It was awesome to see the guys, you know, Jackson Vandalese. We have some heavyweight, like I said, some heavyweight kids that like to contact, so every time I turned around, they were back in the bubble again.
Well, awesome stuff, Steve. That sounds like an absolute blast. Hopefully you guys have as much fun against Edmonton and Saskatoon this weekend, and we'll chat all about it next week.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Ottawa Senators' fifth-round pick and Calgary Hitmen captain Mark Kastelic. All right, time for our first break here on the Hitmen Hockey Hour. When we come back, we'll introduce you to one of the new faces on the Hitmen this year. From Winnipeg, Manitoba, you'll hear from defenseman Evan Toth. As well, the Hitmen Pledge, powered by NMAX, a chance for you to give back to the community. And should you be lucky enough, win a $25,000 prize at the end of the year to donate to a charity of your choice. We'll have details on the Hitmen Pledge, powered by NMAX with Rob Kerr. As well, we'll hear from Hitmen alternate captain Dakota Krebs. That is the Hitmen Hockey Hour rolls on here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Mark, let's start with summer for you. Drafted by the Ottawa Senators. Take us through your draft day, how you knew, where you were, that type of thing.
Yeah, draft day was a super exciting day for me and my family, and probably one of the most memorable days of my life to this point. And I was just at home during the day two mostly. I didn't really watch day one too much, but day two I was kind of on my couch, and I kind of didn't know what to expect really, but I was kind of just anxious to kind of get picked. Wasn't sure if I would even get picked, but just the mindset I had was I just wanted to get drafted. I was sick of watching name by name go by, and it wasn't me. But when I got to the fifth round, like, I just got a call from my agent before I even saw anything, and he said that Ottawa drafted me, and about 5 seconds later, it came up on the screen, and I was super, super pumped, and my dad was so happy for me, and my mom was there as well, and just even my sisters who weren't there were so excited for me, and it was just a great day.
Did it feel like, you know, kind of a trophy at the end of the year? You had such a great year last year, 47 goals, you know, helped the team win a playoff series. Did it feel like that you did everything you could? It was just now up to see if it happened.
Kind of, yeah. I think it was just a good reward for all the hard work I put in, especially over the last 3 years in general. I think, I mean, it was, in my opinion, well-deserved because I put so much work into it and had to battle through a lot of adversity over the years, and I always just bet on myself, and I think just in the end it really paid off. All the hard work paid off to get drafted, but I always say to people that's just the beginning, so now I got to take it to another level in order to make the next step and turn pro.
Let's talk about your camp experience. So you go to Ottawa, Senators camp. What was that all about?
It was awesome. It was a great experience all around, just from rookie tournament to main camp, then back to AHL camp. It was a good month of learning, and I think I just tried to soak it all in as best I could, and just try to make the team and do everything I could to leave a good impression. And I think ultimately I ended up back in Calgary, but I wouldn't change the experience for anything, and I learned so much, and just on and off the ice, how to take care of yourself, how to be a pro, and just learning the pace of the game too on the ice. So all around, just unbelievable experience, and I'm just looking forward to the next step after the season.
You get on the ice with NHL players. What's that like? Is there some pinch me moments where, okay, I just got to settle in and not get nervous here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the nerves were definitely really strong the first day, but after that you slowly just get settled in, and I think just going through the rookie camp really helps you before you get to the big boys, and I think it's a good little tune-up, and the coach Manor, he really helped us get ready for the main camp, and so I'm really thankful for that. And once you just got to main camp, it was really cool just being on the ice with some guys you look up to when you're a kid, and especially off the ice, just seeing them, how they take care of themselves, just hanging out with them all, like, away from the rink as well. It was a pretty good group there, and they're unbelievable guys.
So when you leave Ottawa back to Calgary, do they have an exit meeting with you and say, this is what we'd like you to work on this year, or how does that go?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had a good meeting and good chat, and it was all positive stuff, just kind of reinforcing what I learned over the last month. But the biggest thing is, just with any player, I think trying to make the next step was just continue to improve your pace of play, and that's one thing I'm trying to improve on this year, and that's pretty much the main goal personally, is just continue to grow and develop as a player. And personally, I also want to just continue to polish up all my offensive skills and just areas away from the puck and just D-zone play just everywhere I can, just so that way after this season I'm ready to make the jump.
So you're back in Calgary. What was the initial reaction when you walk in the dressing room door, the guys see you, the coaching staff sees you? I mean, everybody's probably pretty jacked to see Mark Kastelic walk in the door.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, it definitely felt pretty special for that day, that first day I was back, but kind of phased away pretty quickly, just back into the norm. But I kind of texted the boys when I found out for sure that I was coming back, and they were playing, but I kind of let them know, and I think Hammy kind of told them mid-game that I was coming back, so I think it jacked them up. But then the first day I got back to the rink was a great day. I mean, just to get back with the boys, it's been a long month away from them, and I was pretty excited to see them, and I think they were pretty excited to see me as well, and just it was good to just chat with the coaches and management and just kind of just talk about what's to come, and it was all positive stuff, and it was a really good feeling.
You get on the ice against the Portland Winterhawks in your season debut. How tough is it as a player to go from the pace and the size of the NHL and the AHL system to come back to the Western Hockey League?
I think it can be tough for some guys. For me, it wasn't too bad, actually. I was just super excited to be back playing in the Dome with the boys, and I think I just tried to focus on playing my game and not changing too much, just kind of try to do everything and contribute any way I could, and it was just exciting to get the win, and that was the most important thing.
This week you learned that you're going to be the captain again. To no surprise, you were the captain last year. Actually, I was looking it up. This is the first time since Cody Sylvester that the Hitmen have had a captain of more than 1 year. Sylvester wore it for 2 years, from 2011 to 2013. What does that mean to you to get the C again?
It's always a huge honor, like it was last year. It's no different this year. It's an incredible honor, and I'm super thankful that the coaching staff and the team believes in me enough to be the captain again. And I'm really excited for the opportunity again, and really humbled as well, and just to kind of lead the guys again in a really special, meaningful year, which is 25th anniversary and just everything that comes with it. It's just a really exciting thing, like I mentioned before, and I also have a great leadership group around me, so it doesn't make the job too difficult, and I'm just trying to enjoy it.
Let's talk about that leadership group. We are with the Hitmen captain, Mark Kastelic, here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. So Jet Wu and Dakota Krebs will be full-time alternate captains. Carson Folk will wear the A on the road, and Riley Stotts at home. Tell me about those guys.
They're all great guys. I think they all bring something different to the table as far as leadership goes, and just who their personalities are away from the rink. And I think that's a great thing to have as far as the team's concerned, is just a lot of different guys that contribute on the ice, but they also act like pros away from the rink, and they do the little things that matter off the ice and even on the ice too. And it's just good to surround yourselves with good people, and that's who I think they are, and it's just a great leadership group all around.
Tell me about Jet, because those other players and Krebs and Carson and Riley were all here last year. Jet comes in as a 19-year-old, an older player in this league. Your impressions of Jet Wu?
I mean, he's a great guy and great player all around, and I think he's going to be a great piece in addition to our team, and he already showed it in this first four games or so. And he's got a different experience than most of us here have. He's been on a different team in a different place, and he's got a little bit of different things he's gone through, so that's really huge for our team because he can help us in that aspect of the game. And he's a solid player, and he's obviously drafted by Vancouver, so he has a lot of pro, I guess, attributes, and that's a great thing as well for our young guys to just learn from him and see what he does on the ice and kind of learn from him.
A couple more before I let you go, Mark. Tell me about this team. What excites you when you think about your teammates?
Just our depth, I think, and just the way the young guys are already fitting in just like that, and they're already kind of carrying a lot of the weight, and I think that's a great thing that our team has so much depth and balance just all throughout our lineup. We have great goaltending, great D, and great forwards, so I don't think you could ask for much more than that. And we're a great tight group as well on and off the ice, and that's huge for a team that wants to be successful. And so I'm just really excited that the group we have is what we have, and it's gonna be a fun year.
Some guys, maybe when you come back as a 20-year-old, you get a little nostalgic and go, boy, this is my final season in the Western Hockey League. Think back to 16-year-old Mark Kastelic and how much you've grown as a player. What stands out? Like, where are you most proud of the development in your game?
Everywhere, I think. It's just, I never thought I'd be a captain of the Hitmen one day. It's your dream to be drafted. It's your dream to win a playoff series. Like, all these stuff that comes with it, it's just, I mean, it wasn't always pretty throughout the years, but I'm just proud of myself the way I've grown and developed as a player and as a person as well away from the rink. And I just think my maturity level is way higher than I would have thought. And I just feel really blessed that I have had this opportunity to play for this organization for 4 years, going on five, and it's something real special. And I mean, I'm just trying to take as most advantage of it as I can and enjoy every day, because it's my last year, and I'm trying not to think about it like that, but I'm just trying to take it day by day and have the most fun I can with it.
It's got to be real exciting to know that your final year in the Western Hockey League, you're on a team that has a chance to make some noise. It's not a team that, you know, is going through a rebuild. This, you might say, has a chance to be a special group.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. I mean, we've been building for this for a couple of years, so it's nice that it's finally the year, they say. And I mean, as much as we're trying to block out the noise, I think we're definitely confident enough that we have the guys capable of going all the way.
Well, Mark, appreciate your time. Welcome back to Calgary, and have a great season.
All right, thank you very much.
That's Hitman head coach Steve Hamilton in conversation with Peter Klein. By the way, Coach Hamilton joins Klein every Thursday morning, 9:45, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Well, speaking of joining the Calgary Hitmen, their captain is back. Mark Kastelic was the 26th captain in franchise history last year, and they do get number 12 back this year. The Ottawa Senators returning him late last week. He made his Hitman debut, and last Sunday's win over the Portland Winterhawks picked up an assist, very noticeable presence on the ice. 47 goals last year, and just an absolute power forward by definition. 6 foot four, 212 pounds, and boy, Kastelic ready for his final season in the WHL. Brad Curl back with you on the Hitman Hockey Hour on a Hitman game day. Yes, the Battle of Alberta tonight. The Calgary Hitmen up the QE2. They'll take on the Edmonton Oil Kings at Rogers Place. It'll be a 7 o'clock start. You can catch the broadcast on the Alt Stream tonight. Flames are on the radio down in Vegas. That means the Hitmen and the Oil Kings move to the Alt Stream. We'll have the call for you beginning at 7 o'clock at sportsnet.ca/960. You can click on the Hitman icon on the homepage, and well, it'll pop up tonight. Hitman and the Edmonton Oil Kings. Well, one of the Calgary Hitmen making his WHL debut last weekend was defenseman Evan Toth, the pride of Winnipeg, Manitoba, making the team out of training camp last year. Played AAA midget with a Winnipeg Wild, 23 points in 48 games. And Toth coming off a very memorable WHL debut as it came at Scotiabank Saddledome. He had a chance to talk to the media, including myself and Alex Medina from HitmanHockey.com.
Well, Evan, first career WHL game under your belt there. Just talk about that whole experience of getting out there. I know Hammy said that you didn't know until the day, or you knew the day before, that you'd probably get the chance to play.
Yeah, pretty much just knew to go out there and be ready for warm up. But you know, I showed up to the rink ready to go, and you know, unfortunate that one of our guys was hurt and couldn't play. But you know, proud to get the opportunity, and you know, I went out there and gave it my all.
And what was your mindset for the first couple of shifts? Because they always say the first couple are the hardest to get through.
Yeah, you know, you kind of feel that a little at first, like, you know, especially in a place like Calgary, you know, we got a big arena and everything. Not really, a little different from Winnipeg, but no, it definitely was, I definitely think I got through them pretty well, and I think I held my own, so.
And you had different pairings that whole night, but was there anybody that kind of talked to you to get you ready for it, to calm the nerves down and really just help you focus in on your game?
I'd definitely say it was probably Krebs out there. He was, you know, I've got quite a few shifts in with him, and he was definitely saying a lot of things during the game, you know, calming me down. So.
And did you have any family or friends, or was it after the fact that when you played it that they kind of congratulated you on the big milestone?
Well, my mom actually was in town, fortunately, so she got to see. But, yeah, I know after the game everybody's, you know, saying congrats, you know, first step, et cetera, but still a lot more work to be done. But, you know, everybody was pretty happy.
And how did you think you performed throughout the game? Because it seemed like after the first few shifts, you really just seemed to like really settle in and really get comfortable out there. But in your mind, just how did it go?
Yeah, no, definitely, you know, obviously, like, first game, you know, the pace is always different than what you played last year. I mean, I thought I, you know, switched pretty quickly and, you know, made the adjustment. But, yeah, no, I thought I got better as the game got on.
Did you notice that big shift from, because you played in the preseason, so preseason to regular season, did you notice that big shift over just because in preseason, still a younger group of players you're going up against, and then regular season comes, it's the older guys now?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a big switch. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect from that, you know, but, you know, preseason wasn't easy either, but, I mean, at the same time, there's definitely a big switch between that and regular season.
And there were a couple of times you were jumping in on the play, and it seemed like you were a forward a lot of times out there because you were jumping in. Is that something that you like to be, kind of that two-way offensive defenseman sort of player?
Yeah, for sure. I like to jump up in the play, you know, fourth forward, you know, that fourth guy in on the rush. I know I skate well, so I try to use that to the best of my ability moving up and down the ice.
And what did you take away from that whole experience, kind of getting ready for practice to really fine-tune any things you need to work on or just even throughout the season?
You know, I think a big part of it is just confidence. I feel like, you know, there's a reason that everybody's here, and I have to believe that's myself included, that I've got the skill. I just got to make sure that I keep confidence up, and that's learning from the guys in the back end who have been here for a while.
And how valuable is it to have such an older back end? Because, you know, you got Jet Wu, Jackson Vandalese, Dakota Krebs. You know, there's a lot of older guys on that blue line to really help get you into the systems and get you into the WHL style.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of guys back there that I should be learning from, and I'm trying to every day, whether it's, you know, practice or even in that game situation. You know, they've all been really supportive, and yeah, I know they've been here for a while. They know what they're doing, so I got to listen to them, you know.
Yeah, sure. And what's life like in Calgary for you? Because you said from Manitoba, but how have you been settling into the whole Calgary environment and the city in general?
Definitely a little different. I mean, I love the city. I mean, it snows pretty early here, so that's like Winnipeg. But I definitely love Calgary and the city.
Evan Toth, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, the Fan, Hitman defenseman. Tell us about your hockey growth. What are your first memories of the sport? How old were you when you put the blades on?
I think, skating as a kid, I'd sometimes do it for gym class, but I never really got into hockey till I was about, I think, 8 or 9. I think 8 was the first year of hockey, house league, just trying it out. Worked pretty well, and I kind of ran from it from there, so, yeah.
Were you always a defenseman, or did you try all the positions?
I was actually a forward until I was 10, and then I switched midway through the season because we had too many forwards, and, just because I guess I was a good skater then, too, so always just been a D since then.
What do you love about the game? Why has it been so much fun for you?
What do you not like? I mean, from it, making your debut and in the Western Hockey League and just being in front of, thousands of people, that's something big. But, even when you're a kid, just, going out there and having fun with your friends, even if I don't play with a lot of those guys anymore, but still, it's just when you're a kid, it just made me happy and I always wanted to get better at it.
You got a stall here, obviously, at the Saddle Dome. When did you find out that you had made the Hitman?
I didn't find it out right after training camp. I'd kind of, gone home and I don't know, I just got a call and said, yeah, we want to try out. And so obviously that was a huge opportunity and I came out here and I just, ever since then, I've just been trying to show them that I belong here.
When you look back at your training camp, did you feel that that was a moment where you proved to yourself? Because you said so much about this game is confidence in yourself. When you're on the ice at camp and you're evaluating, I'm sure as you do against peers that you're on the ice with, you're looking going, I could do this.
That was definitely something I felt during camp. I put in a lot of hard work over the summer, and I definitely felt that at camp, it really paid off. I thought I showed well. I thought I'd improved even from just the end of the season the year before. So, yeah, I know camp was definitely a good showing of what I can do, and I was proud and happy with it.
So Winnipeg, Manitoba is your home. Were you a Jets fan growing up? I know that the Jets were interesting because they were there, then they left, and then they came back.
Well, yeah, I'm from Winnipeg, so I have to have some Jets. I'm a Montreal fan, but, obviously I love following the Jets, et cetera, and, the Western Conference 2 years ago, that was obviously very exciting. Got to see a game there, but, obviously my parents had seen Winnipeg, et cetera. I had one parent from there, but, it was really exciting when we got the team back. I remember being a little kid and being pretty pumped when we got it back, so.
So a Habs fan, where does that come from, and who is your favorite player?
Where does it come from? Honestly, when I was a kid, my parents had a jersey. It was a Montreal jersey, and just from there, I don't know exactly why, but I decided that's going to be my team. Yeah. I think I got to say, over the years, Carey Price has always been the favorite. I think it's hard not to have fun watching him play and all those saves, and I know I'm not a goalie, but I mean, at the same time, I think I can still respect the saves that he has on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about your game for fans that aren't familiar with Evan Toth. Where do you feel like you play and have the most success?
I try to pride myself in my hockey IQ and moving the puck, making the right pass, and also with my skating. I'm always working hard on my skating because I feel like that's the most important part of the game. So expect me to be up and down the ice, flying out there. So, yeah.
You chatty on the ice too?
It depends. Sometimes a little. If the emotions are a little high, yeah, I can get a little chatty. And I mean, I try to be light when I'm on the bench. I'm not too into the game sometimes, and that's just because that's how I play better. So, yeah, I guess I could say I'm a little chatty.
I'm curious as well. I always like to ask this about guys. Do you have something in the music that gets you going for games, or how do you prepare?
Not too much. There's a couple songs that you love out there, like "Kickstart My Heart" by Motley Crue. I don't know. There's something in that song, but I mean, to prepare for the game, it's pretty much just normal for me, just focusing on the game, a lot of visualizing.
Do you take note of who's on the ice on the other side, or is it more about how you play?
I used to because I knew everybody, but unfortunately, I don't really know everybody out here. I wish I did, but you get a feeling for some of the better guys, and yeah, you're watching for them. But at the same time, I mean, if you're too focused on them, you're not focused on things you're doing. So I don't let it affect my play.
And last one, who's kind of helped you get to this level?
I mean, pretty much all my coaches. I mean, again, my my parents, you know, they didn't really come from a hockey background, you know, but they really still supported me. So obviously I have to thank them too. But, you know, I have to say, like, I've had a lot of good coaches over the year who's always said that, you know, you could make it to the next level. And I always believed in myself and took things from every coach I played with.
Well, Evan, thanks for time and congrats on making the Calgary Hitmen.
Thank you very much.
That's Calgary Hitmen 17-year-old rookie defenseman Evan Toth. Time for another break of the Hitmen Hockey Hour. When we come back, the Hitmen Pledge, powered by NMAX, an opportunity for you to give back to the community and at the same time win a chance to win $25,000 for a charity of your choice. We'll also catch up with Calgary Hitmen defenseman Dakota Krebs, about to play career game 250 in the WHL tonight up in Edmonton. All that and more as the Hitmen Hockey Hour continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Final segment of the Hitmen Hockey Hour. We'll hear from Calgary Hitmen defenseman Dakota Krebs in just a little bit. But first, a chance to sit down with Rob Kerr, assistant manager business operations with the Calgary Hitmen. Of course, you know him well from his days here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Well, the Calgary Hitmen are rooted deep into the community, and they've announced a program that is very exciting for not only fans and people alike, hockey fans or not, to give back to their community, but do so in a way with a chance to win a $25,000 donation for a charity to their choice at the end of the year. It's the Hitmen Pledge, powered by NMAX, and I had a chance this week to sit down with Rob and pull back the curtain and bring you the details. Rob, the Hitmen Pledge, powered by NMAX, is new this year, so we'll start with the ground. What is it?
Brad, it's the club's gift to our fans. It's our gift to Calgary. It's our gift in our 25th anniversary. You want to celebrate it in the right way. You want to find a way to celebrate it that is reflective of how you want to be seen in the public and how you want your history to be told. And, you know, I haven't been here as long as you have, but I think we would both agree that you can talk about the product on the ice, which is exceptional and always has been for the most part. But it's the incredible ties to the community that this club has created in this silver anniversary. You know, over those 25 years, things like Be Brave, Teddy Bear Toss, anything that the Hitmen are known for has a constant string through it, which is connection to the community. It's giving back, as it should be. And I think that's what makes us proud to be part of this organization, is that, yes, we're a hockey team, and yes, you know, we sell tickets and want to make money like everybody else does in the sporting world, but it is also important for us to be tied to the community. So we were looking for a way in our 25th anniversary, and I'm going to blame you, because I think as we went through our planning in the summertime and we got together and we did our brainstorming, I'm not 100% sure that it wasn't your idea in one of those meetings to do something like this. And it kind of fermented from there, and we kicked it around and we said, well, what if, you know, we challenged our fans, our partners, our staff to volunteer 25 hours in the community in our 25th anniversary with a goal of getting to 25,000 hours given back to the city of Calgary. And I think everybody universally said, that works, that's great. Brad came up with a crackerjack idea, and I said, let's give him 10 bucks out of petty cash for that. But, you know, we worked it around in our heads, and we thought about, you know, different things. And, you know, basically, bottom line, it comes down to, while we celebrate our 25th anniversary, we want to continue to strengthen that connection of community in the Hitmen. And we thought this was a great way. And every time we told that story, every time we shared that idea, people's faces light up and went, that was a good idea. And we were very fortunate to spend a couple of minutes with our friends from NMAX and say, this is what we're doing, and you know, do you want to be part of it? And they didn't hesitate. They said, absolutely. It's what NMAX is all about. It's what we try to do. They're a group and an organization and a company that believes, like we do, that you have a responsibility within your community. They have ties in the community. It worked on so many levels. So it's really grown from that. And, you know, we were fortunate at the beginning of September to tease it and then launch it. And now it's available online at hitmanhockey.com/pledge. You can get the passports here at the Dome when you come to a game. And all you need to do is fill it out, volunteer 25 hours. And then the most important thing is, find a charity, a cause that's near and dear to your heart, and write it in there, enter it. We'll collect them here at the Dome. You can do it online. And our final regular season game of the year We're going to draw somebody's name out there, and they're going to be able to help us donate $25,000 to their cause from our foundation. So really, we're putting our money where our mouth is in this case, and we're giving back into the community. But we want to do it at the behest of one of our fans, one of our partners, somebody who took the time out of their lives to make Calgary a better place by volunteering within the community. Part of that responsibility on our part is to make sure people know how they can do it. And we're really excited about that, too, because every game we're highlighting a different volunteer opportunity. That same website, hitmanhockey.com/pledge, you can go and you can find a list of current volunteer opportunities and get a hold of the organizations. If you don't have an idea but you want to get involved, that's the best place to go. And really, we've been excited about the response and the way everybody's kind of come on board on it. And I think we're going to do something really special this year.
Well, it's an unbelievable program. It was not my idea, but it did come out of the brainstorming, which I think is awesome. But let's just talk about the need in our community. And mm-hmm. I think the idea that people are going to step up and donate 25 hours is outstanding. But the fact that you can shine the light on a number of charities that people maybe not even aware of that needed help, the promotion that's going to bring, I think, is priceless.
Well, absolutely. And it's everybody. All you have to do is get a hold of us. And all the information's there at that website, hitmanhockey.com/pledge. And you can get a hold of us, and we'll help publicize it. But the other flip side of that, Brad, is the organizations are going, this is great. We'd like to give it to our volunteers. Absolutely. Heroes Hockey has sent out an email to all their staff, and they said, guys, we want 100% participation. We know how many hours we're going to put in this winter. If we do that, we'll get 2,500 hours, and that's 10% of the hit. It's cool to see organizations want to do that. And, of course, they become the benefactor. It absolutely behooves them to be involved, because the more of their volunteers putting their name down, they can get that. So it's win-win across the community. You couldn't ask for a better partner than NMAX. I mean, look, our hashtag is Hitman Pledge. Their hashtag is People Power Community. It works beautifully. It's a win-win for everybody involved.
Now, the $25,000 that will be given away at the end of the season to a person who has donated 25 hours into the community or more.
Because, look, we know there's people in this community that put hundreds of hours in over the winter. Then fine, keep filling out the ballots. Put 25 and start the next 25.
So if your name is drawn, then you get to donate that money to a charity. There is one caveat, though. It has to go to a registered charity. It can't be the Rob Kerr Needs New Socks charity.
Exactly. The Rob Kerr Needs New Socks charity could certainly use $25,000, but it can't. No, it has to be a charity that, the AGLC is familiar with. And essentially anybody like Kids Sport or Heroes or Big Brothers Big Sisters, somebody like that. And the charities will know. We've done a good job of communicating that. But you're absolutely right. Cannot go to the Brad Curl Benevolent Fund.
Dang it. Okay, let's talk about the Hitman Pledge powered by NMAX Response.
Yes.
You mentioned the launch in late September. What's the uptick been like?
Well, I think the uptick is we're still in sell mode, we're still in telling mode, we're still in promoting mode, we're still trying to get it out there. And the nice thing is that every time we do, we're met with smiles and a lot of people going, boy, Brad's a smart guy, that's a great idea. We were, just this past Tuesday, we set up a little table at a volunteer fair at the Kirby Center, and we were able to go around and talk to the more than 60 different groups there that were there to find volunteers. It was a place where if you wanted to find some volunteer work, you'd go and meet the group. So we talked to the groups. They were excited. 600-plus people came through the doors. We talked to them. They're excited. So it's about spreading the word. So if somebody's listening to this now and they know about it, then tell your neighbor. If you're a hockey coach, get all your coaches on your team. Pick a charity. Do it. Get your team involved. If it's at work, we're just getting into the most charitable part of the season, which is the Christmas season, and we know how communities like to do things, to build teamwork and camaraderie and esprit de corps, and they do. Then do that. Then get a passport or fill one out online. Be part of it, but spread the word. That's the only way this is going to work, is if we let our neighbors know that it's there. NMAX is doing an amazing job of that. We're doing it every game. You're doing it on the radio. It's just a matter of getting these passports in people's hands. 25,000 hours into our city is, I think, really reasonable. But this is Calgary. I tell the story all the time that, of all of the legacies that 1988 and the Winter Olympics still resonate in you know, today is that volunteerism. And I think Calgary set the bar for volunteerism, community volunteerism. We still continue to be a leader in Canada in terms of the amount of hours in the city. And there, as you said before, Brett, there's never going to be a time where we're going to say, whoa, too many volunteers. You guys go, you know, don't help. That'll never be the case. We're always going to need help. We can always use help, but it is Calgary and we volunteer better than anybody.
Last one for you. HitmanHockey.com/pledge is where you get all the information for the Hitman Pledge powered by NMAX. You're a big community guy. Can you speak to, if I'm listening to this and go, I've never donated time before, I'd like to help. You know, what does it feel like to donate?
You know, when I was a kid, you'd hear that term, I want to change the world. I'm going to change the world. And you always think that, oh, you got to be an inventor. You're going to create the next renewable resource or you're going to create the next entertainment. Changing the world is impacting somebody in your community. That's all it is. You want to change the world, give of your time. You know, there's so many different things in life that are challenging and so many different ways of overcoming challenges. But what's common amongst them, whether it's addiction, recovery from addiction, recovery from injury, recovery from just depression, things like that, it's a being of service. People who are of service find that raises the quality of their life. And I believe that wholeheartedly, that, you know, part of our responsibility is as Calgarians, as Albertans, as Canadians, as just people on this shiny blue rock, is to be of service and is to give back. And, you know, I might be weird, I might be wacky, I might be crazy, but to me, there is nothing more satisfying than knowing that you go and you help somebody who could use it and you make somebody else's life better. That's what Calgarians is about. That's what the pledge is about. That's, you know, what the Hitmen take a lot of pride in. You know, be brave. 16,000 kids, we hope, come away from that game with some tools and some thoughts and some skills and the ability to be difference makers in their community. Teddy bear toss, 30,000 bears that get put into the hands of kids across southern Alberta that can use it, that can put a smile. That's changing the world. And you do not have to invent the next greatest thing, the next pop culture. You don't have to, you know, invent hoverboards. But just getting into your community and making your neighbor's life better, you're changing the world.
There you have it. The Hitmen have set the platform. The opportunity is there. HitmanHockey.com. It's the Hitman Pledge powered by NMAX. Rob, thanks for this.
And thanks for inventing it, Brad.
Ah, yes. The cheeky Rob Kerr, Assistant Manager Business Operations for the Calgary Hitmen. Well, big night tonight for Dakota Krebs as the Calgary Hitmen get set to play up in Edmonton. It'll be career game 250 in the Western Hockey League for the 20-year-old from Okotoks, Alberta. Also named this week as an assistant captain. Yes, served as an A last year, gets the A on his jersey again this year. Had a chance to sit down with Dakota and talk about those two things. Dakota, 250 career games in the Western Hockey League comes for you Saturday night in Edmonton against the Oil Kings. Look back to game number one. What do you remember about the wide-eyed, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Dakota Krebs, nervous, putting the jersey on for the first time?
Yeah, I remember we were on the road against Spokane. I was pretty excited, pretty nervous. Went out for my first shift, maybe one of six shifts during the game, being a new guy in the league, and I remember I jumped onto the ice. I can barely remember the shift. All I remember is guy come down on me, and then I almost got scored out. He got hit the post, and then I got off as soon as I could. Anytime I had the puck, I was throwing it away as fast as I could. But yeah, it's pretty crazy to think back that it's 250 games now, and I don't know just how far like I've come and the kind of person I've become from since then, and the kind of player. And it's pretty cool to be able to have that accomplishment, but I mean it's just another game and I'm excited for it.
That young nervous kid that couldn't get off the ice quick enough, did you ever think that you'd, you know, fast forward to 250 games?
Yeah, I don't think I was thinking about that at that time, that's for sure. I was just thinking about getting into the next game and playing good enough to play the next game, and it's definitely something to think about when I'm hanging out with other guys too and young guys that are battling for spots, and then definitely some of those experiences that I definitely come back to when I think about, you know, the kind of kid I was and the kind of kids I see these guys coming in now, and the kind of things I can bring to this locker room, and just overall, just those experiences really made the player I am, and really never take a game for granted.
A good number of those games were the Tri-City Americans. 250 for you also means number 99 as a member of the Calgary Hitmen. How do you look at your time here in Calgary?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, ever since I got here, I was excited to be able to be a part of this team, and coming here, and you know, it's a complete 360 spin from Tri-City. You know, Tri-City a little bit smaller city, American city to Calgary, pretty much my hometown. And I mean, I've loved every second I've been here. I've been able to be a part of the group that's kind of turned things around from that season, and really kind of just moved our way to a position where we could have a good chance of winning the championship this year.
Yeah, you were a big part of the Jake Bean trade. So how nice does it feel now that you kind of left a team that was taking a run at it to a team that was on the rebuild to finally get another shot at it here?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think that was the toughest part about leaving Tri-City was the opportunity at winning a championship. And I think as a player, that's the biggest thing you want to do is win a championship. And it's all you work for, really. So, I mean, to have that second chance to help build a team and, I mean, just to be a part of a team, I wouldn't say I built it. I was a part of this team that is a group of guys that just worked hard and did the right things. And to have that opportunity again, it's something I'm definitely very grateful for.
How has your game come along since 16-year-old, 17-year-old Dakota Krebs to now 20-year-old?
Yeah, it's definitely come a long way. I think there's a few times when I was younger, I was getting on the ice just to get right off. And I mean, I was definitely I pressed the panic button a little more when I was younger, but I think just my being able to be a steady defenseman in the league and just night in, night out, play with consistency, that's the biggest thing that's changed me. And just overall, just be able to play a solid game every night and to be in the lineup and be a game changer every night, that's something that's changed me a lot.
Talk about this Hittman blue line. It looks real good. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think with the addition of Jet Wu, it's definitely been huge for us. And you know, we have a lot of guys that got a lot of experience from that playoff run last year. Got to play big minutes all throughout the season, and I think our coaches do a good job of giving everybody an equal opportunity to play every night and play big minutes and play against the best players in the league. And I think that's really shown like in our team and how deep we are now. It's because everybody's given that opportunity. Everybody's got that experience, and it's really good moving forward for us.
This week as well, you learn you'll be an alternate captain, second year in a row. What does that mean to you to be a leader here?
I think it's huge. I think we have a group of guys that, I mean, there's just about a leader in every single guy in that room. So, I mean, to have a veteran team and being able to represent my teammates on that level it's a huge honor, and I'm super grateful for it. And I mean, the teammates, the guys in this room are pretty awesome. So, overall, it's a huge honor.
Being a leader, there's so many different layers to it. One is on the ice, showing by example. Another one is making everybody come together as a team. Where do you think your strengths are as to being a leader?
I think I definitely lead by example on the ice, but I think the biggest thing I do is my room presence. I think I just kind of keep guys loose, and I know I think I'm a pretty vocal guy, so on the bench I'm pretty vocal, in the room I'm pretty vocal, and then, you know, I just go play. I try to model consistency and bring my all every night, whether that's making mistakes or making the big goal. It's just bringing everything I have every night, and if I do that, I think I'm pretty happy with the way I'm leading.
Well, thanks for this, and congrats on being an alternate captain again, and career milestone 250.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's awesome.
Hittman blue liner Dakota Krebs. Well, that's our show this week of the Hittman Hockey Hour. We want to thank all of our guests for stopping by, including Hittman Assistant Manager Business Operations Rob Kerr on the Hittman Pledge, powered by NMAX. We introduced you to Calgary Hittman rookie defenseman Evan Toth. We heard from the captain Mark Kastelic and the head coach Steve Hamilton. Game day for Calgary up in Edmonton tonight. Broadcast, internet only, sportsnet.ca/960 on the alt stream. We'll have coverage for you at 7 o'clock. Then on Monday, Calgary back in the Dome. It is a tilt against the Saskatoon Blades. Blades and Hittman at the Dome on Monday. It's the Oil Kings in Calgary tonight. Busy two-game weekend for the Hittman. Thanks for listening to the Hittman Hockey Hour. It's heard every Saturday. I'm your host, Brad Curl, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.